Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Fibre. Super fast broadband, perfect for busy homes to be online at the same time. The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Fibre. Awarded Ireland's best broadband and customer service provider at the Switcher Broadband Awards.
And it's Dave Fanning in for Ryan this morning now. It's gone 25 minutes past nine. And Eddie, how are you doing? Are you all right, Eddie?
Good morning, Dave. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well indeed. Now, that is the voice of Eddie O'Mahony, who received his first Ireland jersey as an eight-year-old 31 years ago. Now he's got 175 more. No, 157 more. Let's get that right. OK, because he got 158 altogether. And we're talking here Liam Brady to Robbie Brady, some of the most iconic memorabilia in modern Irish football history. Let's see, Paul McGrath's Italian 90 jersey, Alan McLaughlin's boots from the 1993 World Cup qualifier against the North, Roy Keane's 2002. Did Roy Keane even put on a jersey in 2002? I thought he went home. Hold on, before you even answer that, you've even got Richard Dunn's bloodstained white jersey from the Euro 2012 qualifier against Russia. That was over in Moscow, wasn't it? So anyway, basically you've written a book, you've got a full collection now, and you're going to sort of, I don't know, I presume, talk about the match next Saturday as well, which is the most vital thing we've had in years. Let's just take a look. You got the first thing back in the 80s.
Yes.
158 jerseys later. When you got the first one, what did it do to your head? I've got to get loads more.
No, I think when I was growing up as a child, replica jerseys weren't as popular as they are nowadays. And I had a picture on my wall of Liam Brady in his O'Neill's Ireland shirt. And I thought he was just the most classy thing I'd ever seen in my life. So when I was about five or six, my mum brought me down to the local sports shop. And I couldn't believe that I could actually get the same jersey that he was wearing. So kids nowadays walk around in their Superman costumes and everything like that. And they think they're superheroes. When I was five or six, I imagined I was Liam Brady. And it kind of stemmed a love for the game that carried on right the way through till 2002 when I went to Japan to support the Irish team in the last World Cup we qualified for. And Stephen Reid, one of the players, gave me one of his actual shirts from the game against Germany. And I came home and I looked to try and put it in the Irish Football Museum. And sadly, there isn't one yet to date. But age 22, 23, I said I would set about myself trying to see if we couldn't get one up and running, and here we are 15 years later. We have a virtual museum called IrelandSoccerShirts.com, and we have a book released now called 40 Shades of Green, dedicating and charting the history of the Irish football team from 1986 to 2018.
Okay, if rugby has its stuff at the Aviva and its GAA has its stuff at Croke Park, and you're now talking about a virtual museum, are you? How does that work?
Well, sadly, when the Aviva Stadium was built, it's co-owned with the IRFU and the FAI, so there isn't actually a museum in the Aviva Stadium,
yeah,
which is a real shame. So I decided to set up online the exhibits from Irish football history, and you can go on now wherever you are in the world and visit them. It's open 24 hours a day. It's free to come in, so it's like a public amenity for people to appreciate our history and enjoy it. But the real aim or the real goal would be hopefully to find somewhere in Ireland where we can house the fantastic history of the Irish football team since 1921.
Okay, now, 40 Shades of Green, the history of the Republic of Ireland soccer shirt, 1986 to 2018. That's the full title of the book, is it?
It is, yeah. It's a very special book. It starts with Liam Brady's actual shirt that he wore against Wales in 1986 in Jack Charlton's first game, and it follows right the way through to the final game against Wales a couple of weeks ago with Wes Hoolihan's shirt. In between is every single iconic shirt that the Irish football team have ever worn. They're not replica shirts, they're the actual shirts that the players wore on the field of play, and including some of the historic kits from
you mentioned Jack Charlton's first game. I was at Jack Charlton's last game, and this is a question, an obvious one now, when we were kicked out of Europe by Patrick Kluivert's two goals. It was in Anfield, and
yes.
I want to ask you this one here. Would you get Kluivert's one? It has to be Irish, does it?
It has to be Irish. I mean, the whole point of the museum is to show what a fantastic history the Irish football team has.
Yeah.
And not only that, but some of the moments that the Irish team has given the nation right the way back from 1988 right the way through to hopefully on next Tuesday night when we qualify for the World Cup in Russia. We've had a really special history, and it deserves to be remembered.
Okay, well, since you know everything then, how are we going to qualify exactly? How's it going to go on Saturday? How's it going to go on Tuesday?
I don't know everything, but I would hope that we're going to qualify and we're going to win on penalties in the Aviva Stadium. It'll be the first time we'll qualify for a major tournament.
At home. Yeah.
At home.
Yeah.
So this could be a really historic event, and hopefully It's been too long since we've qualified for a World Cup. I think people have forgotten just how big a tournament it is. So it'll be an amazing evening on Tuesday night, hopefully, when we qualify.
Because you remember, when Ireland playing France, obviously you're going to remember Ireland playing France. Nobody's going to forget that one. But, Thierry Henry scored in Dublin and it was 1-0 for France when we went to France. And then Robbie Keane scored a goal over there. So we were 1-0 over there. And then it was about 112 minutes up to the 120 before a penalty shootout and the famous handball happened, etc. But in terms of penalty shootouts, our history isn't that great necessarily, is it, Eddie?
Penalty shootouts, I think our main history would be in Genoa in 1990.
I knew you were going to mention that. Yeah, but there's been other ones too. You know,
I take it. You know, if we got to penalties, I think we'll get it over the line.
Okay, well, let's take a look at then at what you've got here. You're sourcing the 158 jerseys. I mean, seriously, like, would the FAI take out a barring order on you or something?
The FAI, in fairness, have been great. I mean, the history has never really been put together like it has now, and they've been very supportive of the project, particularly the book. They have made it possible for me to get items signed, and I have to say the Irish players themselves, even the older players, have been fantastic. Many of the players have contributed items that appear in the book from their own personal collections.
For instance, I know that Ronnie Whelan and Shay Given are going to plug the book on their social media, and Robbie Keane wrote the foreword for the book and all the rest of it, but did you have to stalk certain people in places where really they weren't footballing, at meetings, at dinners, golf courses?
In fairness, I would have had to track people down at charity events and golf outings and at interviews and matches and things like that and at their clubs. But the Irish players, as I said, have been fantastic. The website is dedicated to James Nolan, who's a young Irish football fan who tragically passed away in Poland in 2012. And the book is also dedicated to him. And I think once people have seen what the project is about, they've been more than willing to help and give their time and energy. So I've had a great response.
And you also, you dedicated the book to him with the approval of his family.
His family have been fantastic. I mean, I think the nation won't forget James in 2012 when he passed away tragically. I was over in Poland myself. I was a first-time father to a young six-month-old boy, and it just really affected me. You know, really, I thought, how can this lad not come home from the football? And I just thought, I'm in a bit of a unique position. Not too many people have a virtual museum dedicated to the Irish team. So I contacted Jimmy Nolan, his dad, and asked would it be okay to dedicate the museum to him. He was fantastic about it. Last year we were having a chat, and I said, Jimmy, wouldn't it be great to do a book for James? And we started with no publisher, with no budget, and people have rode in behind it. The FAI, Tree Ireland, Jonathan Courtney at Top Line Sports, who do the New Balance and had the Umbro contract, and everybody has rode in behind it. This book has been a kind of a community project. I've had graphic artists, Morgan O'Brien in Galway and people like that, give their time and energy for little and absolutely no money to get this project over the line. So people have seen what it's for. And the Nolan family have been fantastic. Jimmy himself has really driven this project. And it was he who managed to ring Robbie Keane and get him to write the foreword for the book. So we've had buy-in from everyone.
Okay, well then let's take a look at those that you might have had to approach at places that you mightn't have been expected to be approaching them. Like Paul McGrath, Robbie Keane, Roy Keane. Let's take Roy Keane.
I'll take Roy and Paul McGrath. And this is just a brief example. People know footballers are very good and they give their time and energy and stuff to projects. I contacted Paul McGrath on Twitter and said, listen, Paul, I have a couple of items from your career. Is it possible that I could get them signed by you? Little did I know then that I'd actually get a phone call from Paul McGrath a day later inviting me to his mother's house for lunch, you know, to sign the items for the museum. That's incredible kind of support and buy-in from people who were my absolute heroes and idols growing up. Yeah. So that's the level that they supported.
And when you got Roy Keane's World Cup shirt from 2002, which, as I say, I didn't even know he wore one, what happened? I mean, did you go up to him and say...
Roy was out at the team hotel and I contacted one of the staff in the FAI to say, you know, would it be possible to get him to sign the shirt? And the answer came back is, yeah, but you'd have to ask him yourself kind of thing. So I went out to the hotel, very early one morning when they were staying there, and Roy came out early to go to training, and I approached him nice and respectfully, and I said, excuse me, Mr. Keane, is there any chance you could possibly sign your shirt from the World Cup in 2002 for me? And he looked at me with that kind of laser-drilled Roy Keane stare, you know, with the vein on the side of the temple, and looked at me and said, if it's my shirt, how do you have it? So I froze like a deer in the headlights for a moment, and then he gave one of those cheeky little smiles, and he said, of course I'll sign it for you. And he was brilliant about it, you know. So again, the buy-in from all the players has been fantastic.
Right, indeed. And by the way, this isn't just a picture of shirts, this book. This is like, there's a history here, isn't there?
There's a history.
The stories behind
it. It's the story of the Irish team as told through the shirts and the boots and the gloves and the jerseys that they actually wore for the last 30 years. The Irish team has given some incredible historical moments to the country, and this book brings us on that journey. It's not in-depth in terms of scandals or what's happened. It's literally just people can look at the exhibits, remember where they were, who they were with, and we all have a story like that. People can remember.
With somebody like Liam Brady then, hold on a second, I mean, you know, if it started there, it's not an Arsenal shirt, it's not the Italian team he played for, it's nothing else at all, it has to be an Irish shirt.
Has to be an Irish shirt, and Liam Brady was fantastic. I contacted him when he was at Arsenal, and I said, listen, I have your shirt that you wore against Wales in 1986 in Jack Charlton's first game. I'd love you to sign it for me. And Liam invited me into the studios in RTE and gave me his time and signed the shirt. So again, these are specific Irish soccer historical items that are here and that we're all very proud of, and we want people to see and appreciate.
Would you go back to Liam Brady's time of when he started in the kind of early 70s and Charlie George and George Graham and Bob Wilson times? Is that because he was with Arsenal up to 3 or 4 years ago doing the youth academy, wasn't he?
He was, yeah. I mean, the one of the first shirts that appears, the earliest shirts, is from 1966, and it's from the late Ray Tracy. And it's fantastic to have his debut shirt and cap appear on the website and museum. And it's people like Ray Tracy who gave so much to the Irish team that maybe haven't been remembered maybe as well as they should. And I think all the heroes and the people who gave as much to the team need to be remembered going forward.
Yeah.
And hopefully a museum would give them the credit they deserve.
Right, indeed. And like I presume, like when you mentioned James Nolan there earlier, the book is dedicated to the communal sense of Irish fans abroad. It's something money can't buy, isn't it?
There is. I mean, Irish people are renowned, Dave, for their sense of community and things like that. And when I mentioned to anyone what the book was for and what it was about, people helped. I mean, we were looking for a publisher, and I contacted Lettertech in Cork, and their MD, Frank Kelly, came on the phone to me straight away and said, listen, Eddie, we'll back this project. We'll get this over the line. You know, you focus on getting the book done, and we'll get it out there. And people understand what it is. And I think Irish people, we want to help where we can. There's a sense of community, and I think we can all relate to loving our football, but certainly family is more important.
And if Denmark happens for us on Saturday and Tuesday, will you be going to Russia?
That's a question I'd really have to run past the boss. But listen,
if you're running that question past the boss,
yes.
How do you run 158 jerseys past the boss? Where are they?
Unfortunately, they're all in storage at the minute because we don't actually have a physical location. But the boss has been fantastic in as much that when Richard Dunn's iconic Moscow shirt came up, I was contacted to see if I'd be interested in it. We actually had some money put aside to try and get the house painted, which had been badly needed. And so I went to the wife and said, listen, there's a chance I could get Richard Dunn's shirt. So we ended up getting the shirt and we didn't get the house painted. So that's real support for you, Dave.
And would that be because one of the greatest performances ever was Richard Dunn, like that actual game? I mean, would it go down with kind of Roy Keane against Holland in 2001 to get us there?
It would. Paul McGrath against Italy in 1994, and probably Don Givens' hat-trick in 74 against Russia. There's very few games where an Irish player has left their mark and is remembered.
You know, you haven't mentioned Ray Houghton 88 or 94 yet.
Yeah, Ray Houghton scored a vital goal, and he's one of my all-time heroes, and he only scored important goals. But I think in terms of someone's actual performance as well, Richard Dunn's performance on the night, Paul McGrath's in 94, not just their one contribution, but their entire, what they gave to the team on that given day means that they're synonymous with that game, and that shirt is simply iconic.
There's a couple here at 51551. The FAI have loads of soccer memorabilia in its headquarters in Abbottstown. Why not open a small museum there, asks Valerie.
Valerie, it's a great point, and the FAI have some fantastic exhibits out in Abbottstown. The only difficulty is you can't really just go out and visit it. You know, you'd have to be invited or, be invited in to see all of these things because they're actually in behind the kind of the public waiting area. So no one can really access them. And that's the shame. Dalymount Park is due to be redeveloped in 2021.
Actually, yeah, look, exactly. Look, isn't Dalymount due to be redeveloped? No better place for an Irish football museum, says Paddy in that loan.
Spiritual home of Irish football. Yeah. I've contacted Dublin City Council. I've offered everything that I have for use in a museum. And I think if we miss this opportunity, particularly with Dalymount, to do something futuristic to make sure the FAI is going to be 100 years old in 2021, what a better way to celebrate than opening up the new Dalymount Park and having an actual museum to everything that's gone on in the past.
Right, indeed. Have you got an absolute favourite jersey? I mean, the one that really stands out for you then. It is Richard Dunn's, is it?
It is. I can't get away from it. It's for its performance, but it's also because of the actual manner in which the jersey was created. Alan Kelly, the goalkeeping coach, actually taking a pen and almost in a childlike way drawing the numbers onto the front and back of the shirt. It's covered in blood. It's just, you know, you couldn't wish a more sort of perfect shirt. So for me, that's very much the pinnacle of the entire collection.
Well, you couldn't wish for more success than this day week, and we're there for the, it's the 6 months that goes on before the World Cup, you know, just the madness of the whole thing of people saying, will I, won't I go? And then all the stuff that's on the television, the radio, it's January, February, March, April, May, right up to June. We're in the World Cup.
There is, but Irish people love their sport, and we all love when any team, the rowers, the boxers, you know, Katie Taylor, we're all delighted when a team does well. There's something really special, Dave, when the Irish football team is going well. And at the minute, that sense of togetherness between the fans and the players, there's a real bond there. And I can just imagine what the country would be like.
Indeed. There's a bunch of questions for you here. Have you got Dave O'Leary's top against the Romanians? Or Pakis? Or Timotes?
Timotes, I remember that.
It says, does a nation holding its breath?
Yeah, one of the grey shirts that the goalkeepers wore against Romania certainly would be high on the list of items that we'd like to add. But I'm very happy that the collection at the minute really covers our entire history, and anyone can log on to IrelandSoccerShirts.com and enjoy it for free.
IrelandSoccerShirts.com, is that what it's called?
That's the virtual museum.
And 40 Shades of Green, the history of the Republic of Ireland soccer shirt, 86 to 18. All right, well, listen, good man, Eddie. Thank you very much, and good luck with the book when it comes out. Is it out this weekend, is it?
There's only 300 copies of the book being printed, and it's gone on pre-order on FAIShop.com. And as we speak, there's only probably about 40 copies left. So if you're an Irish football fan and you're looking for that perfect gift for the Irish football fan, your family, FAIShop.com.
Thanks, Eddie O'Mahony. Good luck, Eddie. See
Thanks,
you.
Bye.